Hello.
Hey, how's it going, dude?
Oh, it's going just peachy.
Well, hey everybody. I have finally convinced somebody else. I have a new victim for actually doing another podcast with me, and I'm not gonna consider this a Loctar podcast. I'm gonna just consider this a joint program with my friend here that I'm gonna introduce. His name is Daniel. And we're gonna call him Dan. His last name is actually De Guia, which is Spanish.
Spanish.
Did I say it right?
Yeah, you're one of the few people that's actually said it right. But you don't really have an excuse not to, though, so.
That's true. Like, what is
If,
this? What do you think it stands for?
the guide,
Oh.
or a guide.
You know, it's not really a common last name, though.
Yeah, it's a long story. The name is actually came from a Filipino dude, but no one in my family's Filipino. We basically stole the name because one of my long ago one of the women in the family when her son was born, she didn't want him to have her abusive husband's last name, so she ticked him off by giving his boy her lover's name.
Wow.
Yeah, so
That's actually a pretty cool story.
it's not one that most people have, I must say.
No, but it's I like it. I mean, I think that what better way? I mean, I don't have that much history of my last name. I mean, Guzman is actually originally German, but if I wanted to trace my roots back to Germany, it just wouldn't happen.
Yeah, good luck with that. I tried tracing my ancestry f years ago. My sister and I both tried, and it was just one dead end after another, so we finally gave up.
Yeah, it's very difficult because, well, in Spanish countries, they really don't keep good records from back then. Most of the records are kept by churches. Actually, that's like the best place to get information from.
Yeah, the rumor in our family is somewhere there's a Bible that's been passed down from, generation to generation that has a record of, all the weddings, all the births, all the offshoots of our family tree. But just a rumor. No one's actually seen it. Yeah, so supposedly, I'm guessing it's like on the inside cover or something. Like I said, I've never actually seen it. The last person to have known where it was is my father's father, and he last saw it when one of his aunts had it. So who knows? Maybe it'll turn up someday. If so, it'd be pretty friggin' cool.
Yeah, definitely. I let's see. I can trace about two generations before me, and then it gets really, really difficult because my mom's side, her father, actually became an orphan when he was really, really young,
Oh,
and
really?
he knows like his brothers and sisters. There was like I think nine brothers and sisters or something like that.
Oh, wow.
And like some of them kept in contact with each other, but he was like one of the youngest ones, so he like pretty much grew up on his own.
Oh, that's rough.
Yeah, and then a similar story on my dad's side, but it was my great great grandpa. His dad actually died when he was really young, but he was raised by his mother, so my dad actually got hit to meet his own grandma and stuff, which is kind of cool. And she
Oh,
was
wow.
like really big into food, so
That
I've
that's a
inherited that.
great thing for a grandma to be in.
Yeah. Oh man, my grandma is the best cook I've ever met.
Oh man, it's yeah. I mean, grandma food, it's made with grandma love, so it's awesome.
Well, you see, that's true, but I have two, obviously two grandmas, my mom and my dad's side. The one on my mom's side, she can cook. I mean, she does things with love and she's very laborious around the house. Oh, I used to live with her for a little while. And she's cool. I mean, she's like always doing housework, but my dad's mom, she's the best cook ever. I mean, this woman can do pretty much anything from scratch. And she'll come up with like, I mean, she'll do like just some chicken wings with some sauce on top of them, and it will be like to die for.
The best thing ever.
Oh God, she's just amazing. And I'm a pretty good cook. I actually love cooking. But you know, I probably inherited some of her talents or whatever, because people actually do like my food.
Oh, I'm sure they do.
Nobody's died, so.
Oh, well, that's a plus.
That's definitely a plus. Nobody's gotten sick.
Because, you know, you can fake it as long as you don't die afterwards.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, yeah, it was great. Ah!
Hey, I'm a great critic of my own food. If it True doesn't taste good, I'm not, you know, I'm not going to serve it. But I don't know. I'm like one of those, I don't know what you would call it, like a trash can cook. Like, I open the fridge and whatever I find there, I make a concoction out of it.
Ah, so it's a you're totally winging it.
Yeah. And people find that, like, weird and amazing. Like, Cielo is, like, a really good cook, but she cooks by a book or you know,
by a recipe.
Recipes. And I'm, like, the complete opposite. Because, she, you know, she would try to be like, oh, I want to do that dish that you did that day. She's like, how do you do that? I'm like, well, you know, I grab a little bit of this and a little
pinch of this, like, a whole lot of that.
Yeah. Is there any way to measure that? So,
yeah, that's how one of my grandmas is. She's from, I think, Louisiana, and she makes the best, you know, Southern food, and it's all just done by hand. She doesn't actually use measuring spoons or anything. It's just, you know, like when she makes biscuits, she'll just dip a hand in the flour and throw it in the mix, not even checking it, and they're perfect mm-hmm. every time.
That's one thing I know nothing about in Southern food. And I've heard so many good things about it, but I haven't had Southern food.
Oh, man, you're missing out.
I know. I should be able to find something now that I'm in Kansas City.
Yeah, you should. If not, it shouldn't be too far off.
No, and I do want to travel south. I mean, I've been to Florida, but that's really not the South.
No, not at all.
And I've had friends. I've had a really good friend from Mississippi back in Chicago, and you know, he always talk about like good Southern food, but we never got a chance to like go eat it. I mean, like, you know, I've had good barbecue and good ribs and stuff, and the true barbecue is supposed to be from the South, or actually from Kansas City.
Well, that, it depends on who you ask.
That's true. Oh yeah, it's like pizza. Like, you know, every single time that I talk to somebody, I mean, you're all the way from California, so you probably have your own idea about pizza, but to me, the only good pizza is Chicago-style pizza.
Yeah, I've never had true Chicago-style pizza, like, from Chicago, but I must say, I'm a big fan of East Coast pizza. I like the whole, you know, the size of four slices, and you fold it in half and just cram it down your throat.
Yeah, and it's different. It's completely different, because, you know, in Chicago, you have, you know, true deep dish, you know, freaking quarter inch of cheese at least.
Oh yeah. Nice artery clogging ingredients.
It's the Midwest, man. We do everything that way.
Awesome.
I'm actually scared of California.
Why?
Because I don't know, man.
Are we too liberal?
Most of the people that I've not that. We'll get into that later. No, but I think that most of the people that I've met from California have been in the software sales side, so it's mostly salespeople. Mm-hmm. And, you know, salespeople tend to be nutty anyways.
Yeah, there's a quote-unquote special kind of person to do that line of work.
And, you know, especially software sales. Software sales is just even crazier. But then the interesting part is that, like, once I gotten to, you know, like, you know, meet them in conferences or whatever, it's like they tell me like just the weirdest things about California, and I'm like, oh my god, do I really want to go there?
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting place compared to the rest of the country. I mean, I haven't toured extensively throughout the rest of the country, but enough to know that California is a beast unto itself.
And it scares me. I mean, like, I had never heard before about people that eat, they're not just vegetarian or vegan, they are raw people. They will not consume anything that has been, you know, gone through any process or any kind of cooking or anything like that.
Yeah,
they're actually raw.
Yeah, you were telling me that a while ago, and that's, I have to say, I still haven't heard of anything like that. Sounds really insane, though. Sounds like something needs yeah. you see on, you know, like Discovery or National Geographic Channel.
It just really strikes me as weird that you would go to like a meeting and, you know, tell people, oh, I've been raw for, you know, 10 years or something. It's like, okay.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see if, you know, they walk around wearing, you know, hides, or if there were, you know, regularly, you know, Vans, Converse or something.
We should look in the web. Maybe there's like a raw blogger somewhere.
Yeah, that's one of the things that has the potential to really horrify you.
Well, yeah, and the thing is that, you know, I'm having dinner with these people from California, and, you know, it's this guy and this girl, and, you know, they're both from California. It's like, oh, yeah, and they start telling me this story. I don't know if they were just pulling my leg or what. And then on top of that, the whole, you know, pretty people kind of, you know, in California, you have to be good looking, otherwise people look at you like you don't belong. And I'm not one of the pretty people.
Yeah, well, yeah, there's a whole mix over here. At least where I live in Sonoma County, it's kind of a melting pot from kind of the rednecks from up north, the real hot areas, and, you know, then we're about an hour north of San Francisco, so you have all the people from the Bay Area that, you know, majority are real cool, but you get some real wackos.
Yeah, so you see, I do have a reason to be scared. I've lived in the Midwest my whole, you know, life in the United States. Uh-huh. So I really have a, you know, a point of view from the Midwest. I mean, I'm from Chicago. That's just who I am, and the Midwest is a, you know, completely different thing. I mean, it's more blue collar, more, you know, people are really down to earth, and so is Kansas City. Kansas City's it's been amazing. I could have never imagined how cool this place was going to be.
That's awesome. Yeah, I've never, like I said, mostly just been along the, you know, the Eastern Seaboard, and you know, New York, New Jersey, Delaware, D.C., Pennsylvania, that kind of that cluster of states right around there, and it's I like it over there in the sense that you can drive 2 hours in one direction and you're in a completely different climate, completely different environment, way different people. And here, you know, in California, you can drive all day and you'll still be in California.
Right.
You know, still California people. It's just hotter or colder depending on which way you go. But
yeah. I guess I have to let go of my fear. Actually, I might be there next February for a huge conference.
Oh, whereabouts?
I'm not sure. I think it's either San Francisco or San Diego, and I know they're completely different towns, but
yeah. Well, yeah, that'd be cool. Find out for sure, you know, where it is, and we'll have to, you know, grab a beer or something.
Oh yeah, that would be nice. It would have been nicer if you were working for Newcastle.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm still bummed I didn't get that job, but
Shouldn't be though. You're pretty happy with where you're at right now.
Oh, totally. Yeah, and I don't have to commute. Well, not nearly as much as I would if I got the Newcastle job.
But yeah, but that would have been definitely interesting, something to brag about.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, does it feel weird to have friends like all over the country? Like, you know, I consider you a friend just from, you know, interacting on the blog and then.
Oh, totally.
Being able to chat once in a while. Does that feel weird? I mean, it's something newer to me. I mean, most of the time when I've met people online, I got to meet them face-to-face rather quickly, either because it was a geographical kind of forum or, I don't know, it just presented itself. But, you know, you're probably one of the people that I know that is far away and I consider a friend, but I've never met you.
Yeah, it's you know, when I first really started, you know, tinkering around with the internet, you know, ages ago, you know, when chat rooms were like, you know, this new, brand new, really cool thing, you know, you talk to people all over, but there's not really a whole lot of people that I maintain, you know, communication with anymore, that I don't interact with, you know, locally. Most of that's because I just, you know, with two kids and my crazy job situation and being married, I just don't have time, you know. But you know what it's right. Like.
Oh yes, I do know.
You know how much spare time you have. But yeah, I mean, you're pretty much the only person that I talk to, you know, in some way, shape, or form on a, you know, fairly regular basis that, you know, it isn't local that I haven't met. And I think it's cool, you know. It's adds a different dynamic that, you know, I don't have with the rest of my ties where I am here.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've actually been kicking around an idea. I'm always thinking of like new businesses and new things to do, and I'm actually hoping that this one actually comes to fruition someday. And it's I've actually worked with friends before, like you know, in an office environment. I actually got to work with actually four of my college buddies.
Oh, that's awesome.
But yeah, it was awesome while it worked out. But that's a whole other story.
That's a whole nother podcast.
Oh yeah, that's a whole other podcast for sure. But like, for example, when I was out in Midland, I actually got to get pretty close with a couple of other bloggers, and this is just something that I've been kicking around. You know, there's a lot of people that are telecommuting now, and you know, being able to work from home or whatever. Like, you know, I can actually work from home. I'm probably gonna end the rest of the week working from home. And you know, instead of having offices, because even the office that I work for right now is more of a, they call them hotel suites, because you just come in and you can plug in or whatever, but you don't have an actual desk.
No cubicles.
Because so many people travel. Yeah, no, it's not. I mean, I have my own cubicle, but it's just laughable how small it is. It's like a sub-cubicle. It's like below the cubicle.
Nice.
But I think that if you have a kind of like a place that could be like an office space where you can rent like a room, let's say with like, you know, four, you know, workstations or four cubicles or whatever, and then you can have four people that you get along with and they all happen to telecommute. I think that would be really cool to have a little room that you can work with your friends with, and I think it'll be possible in the near future.
You mean like an actual physical room, or like a chat room sort of thing?
No, like a physical room, like almost like an internet cafe, but that has more of a, like, it has the office feel, but it doesn't necessarily have to be for the same company. Like, you know, Dan Lacker, which is, you know, one of the bloggers that I know, he works for Sun Microsystems, and he lives out in Midland. And, you know, my other friend, Mike, he's a Mac developer, and he also works from his home. You know, and the three of us could definitely like go to an internet cafe and just interact with each other as friends, and you know, have a work day there. Like, we plan to do that a couple of times, and in the winter when I go back to Midland to visit, I think that we'll probably get together in somebody's house and just work the whole day from home.
Oh, I see. But what I think you that mean.
Yeah, like, totally. To facilitate that.
Yeah, actually, the funny you mentioned that, I was talking to a friend of mine that I haven't spoken to in, I don't know, probably like 6 months. And, you know, he works from home. It turns out he lives, I thought he moved far away, but, you know, he only lives, like, literally a 2-minute drive from where I live now. And, you know, he said the same thing. You know, he's like, well, hell, next time you're working from home, you know, just show up at my door. You know, he's like, I have an internet connection, obviously, and we can both, you know, do our separate jobs, but still hang out.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think that that is such a cool thing.
Yeah, I think
that that's definitely going to be better.
Yeah, at least I mean, he's really the only other person I know that telecommutes. I mean, you hear about it all the time, but at least, you know, from my experience, finding someone that actually does it more than once every 6 months or so when the boss is feeling generous. It's kind of rare out here, at least from, like I said, from what I've run into.
Oh, really?
Yeah, most of the people. I mean, this is the first job that I've actually truly been able to work from home. I mean, I haven't been in the office at all this week. Tomorrow will be the first day I actually have to, you know, get my ass out of bed and put real clothes on and not roll downstairs in my slippers.
Yeah, you see, but I think that's really unfair, because I remember during your last job, you used to have to VPN in and do changes at, you know, all ungodly hours of the night, and
yeah.
Well, so they wouldn't let you work from home?
No, not at all. Well, it was more of a system issue. You know, that I had to work with four or five completely separate computer systems and work environments, and not all of those could I access from home. Okay. I'm sure there was some way, and I don't imagine it would have been terribly difficult, but you know, in a company that large, having one person stand up and say, "Yeah, I want to work from home," you don't really get taken seriously.
Yeah. Oh, I understand. Well, but look at Sun Microsystems. I mean, that is a huge company.
Oh, yeah.
And they have tons of people that telecommute.
Yeah, I mean, it really depends on where the company's priorities are. You know, I've worked for companies in the past where, you know, everything about the company was great. You know, they gave awesome benefits, you know, just medical, dental, things like that. But then, you know, lunches every Friday for the meetings, you know, free... you know, free services, I mean, all sorts of cool stuff. And then, you know, the next company I worked for was, you know, a much bigger entity, and their focal point was the bottom line, you know, how much profit they made. And, you know, they did care about the employees in some aspect, but it wasn't nearly as, you know, you guys kick ass, so we're going to take care of you, as the other company I worked for. So it's really interesting, you know, going from one company to another and seeing how they treat their, you know, their employees completely different.
Yeah, it almost seems like each company is like a country that has its own culture or whatever.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, when I'm working now, I mean, the company is very forward thinking, like. We basically don't even care about the building that we have right now. Like, we have a building and we're probably not going to move anytime soon, but if we wanted to, we could move buildings tomorrow and there wouldn't even be a hiccup, because most of our servers are hosted on an ASP and we just don't have to touch anything. I mean, I can work from home just as well as I can work from over there. I mean, sometimes I get better speed here at home than I get there.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I mean, yeah, and that's where I am now. That's what's nice is, you know, the company I work for now. I mean, it's really just the boss and myself. Right now it's out of, you know, an office that is above his garage. So, you know, down the road, if he moves a company into an actual bona fide office, it's not going to be a hassle other than physically moving the tables and desks. But as far as service goes and the servers and all that, you know, my work goes where my laptop goes. So that's what I really like about it.
Oh, I love that about, you know, our type of work, you know, because we both work in the computer field. And but it's getting more and more that any kind of field can be, you know, done that way. I mean, look at all the outsourcing. I mean, even medical imaging, like, for example, radiology or anything like that, you can now have your x-ray taken here in the United States, and that can be shipped anywhere in the world for a radiologist to look at, you know, your x-rays or whatever.
Yeah.
And make a diagnosis.
Totally. It actually amazes me. It took the medical industry as long as it did to accomplish that. You know, I mean, if you think, I mean, it's really been the last, I'd say, 5 years,
mm-hmm.
that's really, and most of that, I'd say, would be in the last two and a half years that I've noticed. I also don't go to the doctor very much. But, I mean, when you look at where the rest of the internet was and the rest of what everyday people had capability-wise, it still baffles me that it took so long for the medical industry to kind of catch on.
Well, I think most of it is because people are very resistant to technology. I remember probably about 6 or 7 years ago, one of the local grocery store was testing this new smart shopping cart that would, you know, I think it was RFID, would keep track of what you have on your cart and everything else. And the community itself was, you know, was more of a mature people community, like people that were, you know, probably over 40s, over 50s, and those people resisted that to the point that they took the cards off. Like, oh yeah, because they didn't want, you know, they didn't like it, because the thing will talk to them too.
Yeah, see,
and it probably annoyed them.
That
and
was,
they didn't know how to turn it off.
Yeah, that would scare the crap out of me. You know, if I'm going shopping, looking at, you know, eggs, and all of a sudden the cart starts making suggestions or something. you know, that, yeah.
That would freak you out.
Yeah, you know, I'm cool.
Remember, you got to watch your cholesterol.
Yeah, yeah, really. When, looking at the rest of the cart, you know, you've got a lot of fatty items here. Now, now, I heard a while ago, and I really don't know if it was just, you know, a theory or something that some place is actually doing of kind of like what you said, you know, you, when you put an item in a cart, it'll somehow just scan the item. So then when, you know, when you roll up to the registers, it's already got it totaled, and you don't have to sit there, wait for them to scan every item and bag it. And then now that would be cool.
Yeah, and I mean, the technology's there. I mean, Walmart has taken a lot of technologies like that, especially in their supply chain or whatever. And, you know, they can do tons of things through RFID now as far as keeping track of things. I mean, they know when something leaves the shelf at Walmart, which is kind of scary and kind of amazing.
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword, you know. It's,
oh, yeah.
And for some people, you know, not necessarily myself, but the more advanced we get along, yeah, about incorporating technology into mundane everyday tasks, it seems like Big Brother is just ever looming over us, you know.
Oh, and it is, because I mean look at every single GM car now. Every single GM car is equipped with OnStar.
Yeah.
When a vehicle is equipped with OnStar, you're automatically
tracked.
You know, located through GPS anywhere in the United States. Anywhere in the world if they really wanted to.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for the walls of TVs where you get the feeling that you're being watched. Just waiting for that to happen.
Oh yeah, somebody's looking at me, picking up my nose right now.
Yeah, Big Brother loves you.
I would have fun with that. I don't know. I'm in denial about it, and in another way, it's like, you know what? It's been happening for so long, and to some extent that it doesn't even amaze me anymore.
Yeah, yeah. There's always been ways to keep tabs on people. I think it's for some people, it's just really scary now. It's overwhelming because, you know, they say what you're like the average person, American citizen, is caught on camera like 20 times a day or something like that.
Oh, you know? I don't doubt it at all.
You take that alone, and it's like, okay, well, that's a little creepy.
Well, you see, and you would think that it's creepy here, but I think in England, there's more cameras in England per square inch than the United States, and it's not just because of size, but even if you compare like London to New York or something, there's a lot of cameras there because I don't know, closed circuit television over there is like a big thing.
Yeah, it's huge over there. One of my friends went to London like 4 years ago, and he came back just totally amazed, all the cameras, and you know, he said that he was just visiting, you know, a close friend of his, and he said that it was hard for him to enjoy when they were out walking around or going shopping, because it was just, it's kind of like, you know, if you're sitting in your living room at night watching TV with the blinds open, you just have that eerie feeling, you know, that tingling on the back of your neck that you just feel like you're being watched.
Yeah.
He said it was like that the whole trip. And I don't know. I'm not too keen about that. Talk about, you know, resistance is futile. Apple's taken over.
I think that's awesome. I don't know. Maybe because I like all the Apple people that I've met, but
it'd be awesome if they,
I don't know,
if they lowered the prices, man.
Oh, I know. I really want a MacBook Pro, but I just don't have the money right now.
Whatever. They're doing what they do, which is make money. And they're doing it quite well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was all thanks to the iPod. I mean, we're doing this right now, doing a podcast because of the iPod.
Oh yeah, totally. It's, you know, hindsight's 2020. I wish I owned stock in Apple before the iPods hit, man.
Oh, you and me both. Yeah.
And I'm sure everyone else.
Oh yeah. But one thing that I did want to bring up or talk about is, you know, when you were talking about the eerie feeling that you get when you're watching TV with, you know, the blinds open or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It tells you how different cultures are. Because here in the United States, for the most part, you do not interact with your neighbors. But like in Colombia, there is every single day somebody would come up to your door and knock and you know, somebody would bring bread and be like, oh, you know, let's have coffee and, you know, bread together or whatever. And there was always people coming in and out of, you know, everyone's houses, and you mm-hmm. knew the neighbor. If you cook something, you might ask the neighbor if they want to come over for dinner. It was your community. I mean, it was a true sense of community, something that people here might do with, you know, like the people from their church or something like
right,
that.
Right.
Over there, you do with the people that you live around. And like you, the windows over there and the doors are pretty much always open as long as you're awake.
Mm-hmm.
And in here, it's like we're so, you know, close. It's almost like we're inside of Tupperware, and we get home from work and we close that lid. It's like, don't touch me, don't look at me, don't call me.
Yeah, this is mine, this is my space, don't intervene. Yeah, that's... I mean,
people get surprised even when the phone rings.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, for most people, it's, you know, when their house phone rings, it's like, wait, who's not calling my cell phone?
Why do I even have a house phone anymore?
Yeah, I mean, the only reason I have a house phone is for my DSL, and the only people that call that is telemarketers and my parents.
So you have to answer just because your parents call.
Yeah, well,
otherwise it would go to voicemail.
Yeah, well, the bummer part of that is for both my parents and telemarketers, on the caller ID it shows up as Idaho call.
Oh.
So it's like, you know, if you just glance at any answer, it's like, oh, damn, a telemarketer. You're not mom and dad.
Idaho.
But yeah, I mean, it's I've never, yeah, unfortunately, I haven't had the luxury of traveling outside the country. You know, but I'm good friends with people from Germany, and you know, they've obviously been all over, you know, all over Europe.
Right.
And when they came over here, that they pointed that out also, that it's everyone kind of keeps to themselves, and that's one of those things where the more you think about it, the more confused you are as to why it is that way. You know, over here.
Yeah, there's not a good explanation for it, and. Actually, April from the other website that I visit quite a bit, chrisandapril.com, she, for better or worse, that's the title I was trying to think of it, she just reviewed a movie called, I can't remember the name of it, but, you know, the whole premise is that they take this soldier and, you know, put him to in some kind of cryogenic induced wherever, and they put him to sleep for like 500 years, and then he wakes up to a society that is just completely different and completely stupid, actually. Like, they've been dumbed down by... I don't know. I haven't seen the movie, but it just made me think of just, you know, is really the government doing this? Is, you know, is it trying to keep us apart from each other and not talking to each other?
Yeah, it's... yeah, I mean, but that I could totally go off on that. You know, it's I think a lot of it does have to do in a very remote, you know, extreme. I don't want to say extreme, but in a very remote sense of the word, you know, it's political. You know, people. Well, take myself for example. I grew up in a, you know, real straight-line, strict, conservative Christian Republican household. You know, not at all that there's anything necessarily wrong with that, but looking back, we never associated ourselves. You know, if I had friends that, you know, the parents, they just they looked off, so to speak. You know, if they
the parents mattered.
Yeah, in you know, being a parent myself, you know, I'm finding myself noting that, but I also try to look at myself. You know, I've visible tattoos. You know, my lip and my ear are pierced. Most of the time, I have my hair, you know, buzzed real close to my head. You know, I don't. My outward appearance, you know, it's once people get to know me, they know it's just, it doesn't define who I am. But growing up, you know, if someone had a tattoo, they were automatically labeled, you know, a Hell's Angel.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Oh yeah, and, or an ex-con.
Yeah, whether they owned a motorcycle or not, they just, that's just how, what you told they, what you were told they were. You know, so it's, you know, growing, we didn't associate with gay people, we didn't associate with, you know, anyone outside of our sphere of what we deemed acceptable.
Correct.
You know, it coming from, you know, where I came from, that was religion based. But mm-hmm. I also know, no, but you know, I have
beyond religion is just an is just built around isolation. I think that not just religion, but just this country in general tries to isolate. I blame it on the pursuit of individualism. They have made this idea of being an individual so important and so prevalent around this society that everybody's just trying to, you know, achieve and be the best and be this individual apart from everybody else. And at the end of the day, they have to conform to, like you said, either religion or their political party or, you know, the people that they work with, and they isolate themselves from anything else.
Yeah, and I think what we've lost is, you know, if you look at, you know, when I look at what my grandparents went through growing up, you know, not just, you know, you take the big issues like the Depression and, you know, World War One, World War Two, that whole, all those things, if you take those completely out of the picture and look at their everyday culture, you know, it's like you can't look at that and come away with something other than they were, for the most part, the communities relied on each other. You know, I mean, obviously things were different then, but I think, and I don't really know where along the way, we've lost, I guess, lost the thought that you can still succeed, you can still be the best you can still be the best husband, wife, daughter, mother, you know, whatever, and still rely on other people. You know, and that's, it's unfortunate because, I mean, everyone has their talents, and it's kind of like if you take 10 people, you know, if you were to pull all of their, you know, all of your collective talents together, you know, just think of what you could accomplish.
Oh, no, definitely. And I think that the internet and our current technology is changing that. I mean, look at the communities that we're forming right now through blogging and through, you know, like the open source software.
Totally.
I think that we're creating, you know, communities in the new age where we're starting to connect again. And like, I think that, you know, in the last 20 years, there was so many problems with like mental health and just people going nuts and going depressed and just, you know, not being able to rely on other people. And I believe it's because people lost community. People lost the sense of, you know, they didn't have anybody to go talk to. They didn't have, you know, that crazy guy in the neighborhood that you could go and, you know, chat with or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everybody just became like their little cocoon. Like, there's no Fonzie anywhere. Yeah. You know?
Hey.
It's like, yeah, exactly. I mean, Fonzie now would be like, you know, put away as a child molester or something.
Yeah.
And we're so scared of everybody else that we just stick to our family, our church groups, or, you know, whoever it is that we interact with, and we shut everybody else out. It's like, oh no, you know, they're weird, they're different.
There's just a ton of factors that, you know, that you could just expound on. You know, it's like looking at, you know, my typical day. I mean, there's simply not a lot of time at the end of my day, you know. And I don't lead an exceptionally, you know, different life than anyone else, you know. Just your average guy, married, has kids, working, you know, just going through the motions, so to speak. And by the time the sun goes down, it's like, okay, there's, you know, a half hour left before everyone kind of crashes and goes to bed. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like it's just weird. It just seems like we've made ourselves so we have less time, even though we can do things so much faster now than we could.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're still working 8 hours a day, and you know, actually now with, you know, the way our jobs are, it's like, you know, even when we're having dinner, we're still thinking about work and how we can solve whatever problem we have.
Oh, totally.
It's like we're plugged in 24/7.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the funniest things is comparing holidays from, you know, like from Colombia to here. Over there, they have 30 holidays per year.
30?
So there's 30 Mondays that you don't have to go to work.
Good God, I want to move there.
I know. And, you know, just... And like in Europe, I mean, you get a month off, and, you know, most people take a month off and they go off on holiday, and, you know, that's how they get to travel around here. And here, even taking a week away from work is a struggle because you cannot unplug for a week because, you know, your time is so crammed with so much crap that if you leave work for 2 weeks in a row, you might not come back to a job.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all the things you're bringing up there, like I said earlier, those are the kind of things where the more you think about it, the less sense it makes. You know, mm-hmm. when you would hope that the more thought you put into something and the more you try to figure something out, the clearer a solution would come. But it's and I don't know what it is. I mean, like our neighbors, one of my neighbors on one side, we live in condos. You know, mm-hmm. neighbor to the right of us, she used to be my daughter's preschool teacher, so we know her real well. The neighbors on the other side, we've only gotten to know in the last, I'd say, year and a half. And, you know, it's great. You know, we had the guy from next door over for dinner last night. And today, Friday, I'm leaving to go on a camping trip with him and a bunch of his buddies. So I think it really came down to, even on a subconscious level, just being comfortable enough to kind of, like you said, lower the paranoia, you know, mm-hmm. and just kind of take the risk of inviting someone in and accepting them for, you know, quite possibly being the complete opposite of everything that you consider yourself to be, you know. And that could be, you know, if my neighbor's an atheist and I'm a Catholic, you know, that obviously could be a problem, but you have to choose to not let it be, you know.
Well, and not only that, but you know, you have to learn how to handle yourself in those kind of situations. And, you know, just one thing about a person does not define completely who they are. That is just one aspect of their life. You might have, like you said, you know, maybe a love for the outdoors and going camping and getting to know that person.
Oh, yeah, totally. And, yeah, I think that's what most people, that's where they have a problem. You know, and myself included, I mean, everyone has those, you know, those hot button issues that for them, if someone disagrees with them on, that's just, you know, okay, show stops here, get out, you know, mm-hmm. do not pass go, do not collect $200. And you just got to be willing to kind of just roll with it, you know. And with a lot of people, you just have to make it quite clear when those topics come up, you know, I disagree with you on that. Let's not get into it. We'll just agree to disagree. You know,
and that right there is one point that I think is very important in this society, and it is that I don't know what taught us in America that once a topic comes up and you disagree, then that's the end of the discussion. And I think it's maybe the way that they debate, that they teach people how to debate here. Because, I mean, it's unbelievable. In other countries, all you do is talk about politics and religion mm-hmm. all the time. But in here, it's like I was saying the other day, I really like the way that I phrased that, you know, people hold on to their ideals like they're a little teddy bear that they need to sleep at night with.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah, and it's the part, you know, part of that is, you know, labels. You know, you take two people, they can get along fine, but the second one person finds out that the other is, you know, whatever, you know, Democrat, a Buddhist, Republican, you know, voted for Bush, voted for Gore, you know, believes in global warming, anything. It's this like deep rooted fear of something different. And that's, it's unfortunate.
Like if you touch me, you're going to get infected or something.
Yeah. It's like, you know, if I breathe your air, I'm automatically going to, you know, become a liberal. And it's really unfortunate because, I mean, there's so many, you know, there's so many, everyone has their own opinions. And I think if you don't have to accept them, but I think if you just listen, that right there is going to speak volumes, because then it's going to show by the way of your actions that, okay, this guy doesn't agree with me, but he's at least hearing me out. He's letting me talk. He's not judging me. Mm-hmm. And I think, as far back as I can remember, and I mean, granted, I'm only, you know, almost 25, so I mean, I don't have a vast, you know, vast archive of personal experiences to dip into. But, you know, as far back as I can remember, it's just been this, well, it really comes down to they're different. You know, that's why you don't carpool with them, or that's why, you know, that's why you don't go out of your way to hang out with them, or that's why you can't go play at their house, things like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, take Kelly, you know, my wife and I, we, on a lot of issues, we're the complete opposites, you know. I was raised, well, like I said, I was raised in a Christian household. She was raised in a household that didn't practice, you know, an organized religion. You know, we still have the same, you know, basic morals, you know, be nice to people, don't hurt people intentionally. You know, so, you know, what we're finding is in raising our kids, it's on some issues we're having to talk about things that for most people to have opposing views would be extremely difficult, mm-hmm. because each person wants, you know, thinks that their way is the best naturally. And to me, that's what makes it fun with meeting new people.
I agree with you completely. And you know why? Because every single culture has a different type of food, and I love food.
See, it just comes down to food with you, doesn't it?
It does. And Cielo will tell you that everything comes down to food with me.
Well, you know, but that's good, because, you know, if you have a good meal, you can talk about anything.
Oh, exactly.
You know, and you can hate the person next to you, but, you know, damn, this pasta's good.
Exactly. It's like, oh, chocolate. Even though I hate chocolate, but you know, yeah, that you can entice people with chocolate.
Oh, yeah. Man, you put a cold, you know, cold mug of beer in my hand, and I'm a happy camper. You can say whatever you want.
Exactly. And you know, that needs to happen more. I think that, I don't know, I'm a believer on blogs, and I love my blog more and more every single day, because I feel that it's eventually going to change the world, and change the way people interact with each other, and, you know, not just at the MySpace level of, you know, reconnecting with people or connecting with people on that level, but I think that sharing of ideas and discussion of ideas at that level is just going to take us so much further than we are right now.
Yeah, I mean, I've on one hand, you know, I really have a lot of hope for the whole, you know, the whole blogosphere craze. On the other hand, I don't, because of the craze it's become. And I think because of that, a lot of genuinely talented people with some really thought out, really good views and opinions on, you know, what any topic under the sun, I think because of the craze and because of the, you know, the 2 minutes to set up a blog and, you know, now you have a soapbox to stand on, I think part of that has taken some of the, I don't know if credibility is the right word, but it's taken some of the appreciation out of the picture.
You think so?
I think
so. But you see, I believe that, you know, the cream rises to the top.
Oh, yeah.
And
I definitely think, I've always been, personally, I've always enjoyed writing more than getting up in front of people and talking. Mm-hmm. I've always
enjoyed... You're doing pretty well right now.
Yeah, but, you know, we're not face-to-face.
Oh.
You know, it's easy to talk to someone through a microphone when, you know, I could be looking out the window, you know. For all you know, I'm rolling my eyes and, you know, making rude gestures at you. You don't know.
So that's what you've been doing.
Well, you know.
I have been feeling a weird vibe.
Cat's out of the bag. No, I mean, some people in the past have told me that I'm, like, if I have a particularly, you know, difficult situation I'm going through, you know, with someone, my preferred method of communicating with them is via writing. Some people have said that's, you know, it's kind of the coward's way out. For me, it's one of those things where I can, with words, you know, if you're in a heated argument with someone over something, once you say your words, you can't ever take them back. You mm-hmm. know, the damage has been done, the bridge has been burned. With writing, you know, you can get all your emotion out, get all the, you know, all the vulgarities, you can get that all out on paper in black and white, and then you can go back and rewrite mm-hmm. it. You know what yep. I mean? You can,
or not hit send, for that matter.
Yeah, you know, if you hit send, then you're just screwed, you know.
Yeah, some of my best emails ended up in the trash can.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I think we've all been there before. The thing I do really like about blogs is, you know, I can go to someone's blog, you know, stumble upon it from, you know, Technorati or Google or, you know, a blog rule or whatever, and I may really disagree with whatever they're writing about, but if I'm willing to sit there and read it, then they've been heard. They've said their piece, you know, and then obviously through comments or email, you know, that conversation can continue from there. But I really like that everyone has a voice. You know, everyone has that soapbox to stand on, and I think I would hope at least that people that read blogs, or whether that's a MySpace blog or, you know, a homebrew blog or what or whatever, I would hope that they're willing to sit there and read something. I think your blog, from the comments that have gone back and forth on various topics, I think that right there is evidence that people won't agree with you, but they'll still read what you wrote. Whereas if, you know, let's take, you know, your blog as an example. You know, Solid and I and you kind of had a—I don't want to say heated, but we had a pretty, pretty energetic discourse going on through the comments.
Oh yeah, it was a tennis match.
Yeah, you know, and I enjoyed that. But I think if we were all in the same room together, none of that would have been heard. You know, any of the points that the three of us may have had for anyone involved wouldn't have been heard, because, you know, I don't want to say there'd be arguing, but there'd be doing something in person.
Somebody would have stormed off. Somebody would have stormed off.
Yeah, someone would have thrown, you know, punches maybe. Who knows? You know, it just doesn't get to the level of, you know, okay, well, you know, if I don't like what I'm reading from this person's blog, you know, I can get up and walk away. I can bookmark it, come back to it a month later.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what I do like about it. And I think, unfortunately, the MySpace craze, the, you know, million new blogs popping up every day, as much as I hate to say it, I think that in some form has
muddied up the waters.
Yeah, yeah. And it's not to say that those people starting a blog today, you know, don't have as much to say as I did when I started my blog a couple years ago.
Well, they came after us. They're hacks.
Yeah, yeah. They should have, you know, closed up shop with them. You know,
let's close the doors. No more blog.
Close the borders.
Build a bigger fence. Just don't let the Mexicans build a fence.
Yeah, you know, so that's, you know, I definitely hope I'm wrong. I hope it hasn't, you know, the vast increase of new blogs every day, I hope that hasn't, you know, as you put it, muddied the waters. You know, because I, you know, I like some of my closest friends, you know, we link to each other's blogs. We disagree on pretty much every big issue.
Yeah, you know, I've been to a couple of your friends' blogs, and I'm like, what are these guys smoking?
Yeah, you know, and it's, you know, and these are things that, you know, that I never, we never talked about when we were going, when we had the same classes in high school.
Uh-huh.
You know, and it took.
And by the way, I like them all. It's just some of them have just. Oh my god. I've commented on a couple of their blogs before.
Yeah, everyone has a colorful personality and opinions. It just depends on what, you know, how they choose to reveal them. But you know, again, I think that's what makes it fun, you know. And with one friend, you know, I found that I was, you know, being so narrow-minded that some of his opinions on things, it was getting in the way of, you know, when he'd come to town and we'd go out and get a couple of drinks, you know, I was uncomfortable around him because I was holding on to all these disagreements we had via our blogs, you know, and I finally one day just, it clicked in my head and I realized what was going on, and I emailed him just, you know, look, dude, you know, I'm sorry. You know, it just occurred to me what I was doing, you know, and, you know, and things have been fine with since then, because I've come to the realization that you don't have to agree with everyone. You know, mm-hmm. I don't have to like what you know, the guy down the street, what his opinions are on religion.
You see, that I have a great story for that. My best friend Travis, I mean, we've known each other since college, and he is the most racist bastard you will ever meet. I mean, I'm talking about just, you know, he will use every single racial slur there's out there, and you know, that's just how he grew up. I mean, when I met this guy's family, his dad would not sit at the dinner table because I was there.
Really?
I mean, yeah. I mean, when we were having dinner, you know, I was having a conversation with them, and you know, I have an accent and stuff, but I have a pretty decent vocabulary, and somebody said something, and his mom said to me, he's like, don't speak to that boy in those big words.
No.
Like, oh, yeah. But you know what? I love Travis. Travis is a great friend. You know, we went through a lot in college, and we went through some difficult times together, and we've remained friends. And you know, I tell him that I'm the oxymoron of his life, because he can be such a racist bastard, but he knows he loves me like a brother.
Uh-huh.
And you know, it pisses him off because he knows I'm right. And then, you know, then he goes on and calling me a Mexican. You know, he knows I'm Colombian, but
yeah, it's just a dig. It's
just the way he deals with it. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just to get at you.
Yeah, we go back and forth. I haven't seen him in a while, and I actually was going to get together with him not too long ago, but I had to work that day. But I'm probably going to visit him soon. And, you know, he comes to my blog, and he comments on stuff. And actually, that whole conversation that we were having with Solid, he's like, you are getting under my skin there. You know, he told me that.
Yeah. Oh, and I'm like, you know. I thought that was great. I thought it was great that he, you know. Knowing the kind of relationship you guys have, I thought it was great that he was able just to lay it out like that, and be like, you know, mm-hmm. you really started pissing me off there.
You know, yeah,
yeah, and that's, I have to say, you know, the relationships where, you know, whether that's friendship or, you know, my parents and I, you know, we, since I moved out of the house and moved out of living under, I don't want to say there are rules and regulations, but living under their influence, you know, I've changed completely. Mm-hmm. You know, my dad, almost every time I talk to him, he still says, you know, you're not turning into a Democrat, are you? You know?
You freaking tree hugger.
Yeah. You know, especially now that he left California and moved to a red state. Now he's like, yeah, you know, you're not turning into a liberal Democrat. So, you know,
does he ask you that on a regular basis?
You know, not so much anymore, because I finally told him, you know, well, what does it matter if I do? You know, I'm still your son. That hasn't changed. Mm-hmm. You know, and...
And then he took you out of the will.
Probably.
We're taking him out.
Yeah. What son? We don't have a son. But no, I mean, those... The relationships almost with... kind of, I don't want to say boundaries, but with an understanding that both sides are totally cool disagreeing on stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. And when the time's right, you know, you can debate and go back and forth. But those ones are kind of the most fun, because especially when it comes to, you know, having blogs, it's like, when I go read my buddy's blog, I don't know if I'm going to be offended or not. You mm-hmm. know.
Oh yeah, there might be a nice, or he might be talking about poo just like I was talking this week.
Yeah, dude, you're a twisted little man.
It's true, though. I mean, Cielo and I were watching TV, and there comes this turd, like, running around, and we're like, what the heck is up with this? And there are other people that think the same way that I do. This is not just me.
Ah, okay.
I'm serious.
Sure. All right.
Some people agreed with me.
Hey, you know, whatever you have to tell yourself to sleep at night, that it's all good. I'm not here to judge.
Oh, I will get you back some way.
Oh, I'm sure you will.
Somehow. Oh, man, this has been fun, and I don't know if you're keeping track or not, but we've actually almost done an hour. Actually, a little bit over an hour now.
An hour of crap that people probably won't sit and listen to.
You'd be surprised, you know. Some people listen all the way to the end, and if they don't, they don't hear about the free T-shirt.
Oh yeah, yeah, the free T-shirt.
Watch, That's the way we'll know if they actually listen to or not.
Yeah. Hey, you know that I like what you're onto. That's a good little gimmick.
Yeah, there you go. No.
By the way, the T-shirt doesn't exist.
Exactly.
I don't want people showing up on my blog going, "Where's my damn T-shirt?"
Oh, you watch.
I have an audio of your voice saying there was free T-shirts. Give me my free T-shirt.
Oh yeah. Well, let's start a revolution now. like free Angelina or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
all right.
Well, it's been fun. We'll have to do this again sometime soon, I guess.
Oh yeah, well,
maybe then we'll actually have
we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, maybe then we'll actually have a topic, you know. So just
But wasn't it a lot more fun not having a topic though?
Yeah, I guess so. There's a random stream of consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Oh, just wait. The funnest thing is going back and listening to it.
Oh, I bet.
No, I'll have this posted tonight.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah. Get ready.
In all its lack of glory.
I think it came out pretty good. I think people would enjoy it. At least they're getting to know you and your voice, especially like people from your blog. I think that's the coolest thing that you can do, because I mean, not ever listening to your voice before and listening to your voice now, it's cool. It's an amazing thing to be able to do that and connect a voice to the blog.
Yeah, it can be, I guess. So, I don't know. Like you have a very you have a soothing voice. You know, what are you laughing at me?
Like a crocodile, you know, you soothe a crocodile or something?
Hey, Steve Irwin did it for years, hey, okay?
Yeah, and then what happened to him? He got a stingray. I mean, who the heck gets killed by a stingray?
But it wasn't a crocodile, right?
I guess. I guess he was the crocodile hunter, and he never claimed to be the sting. Did you hear about the jackasses that are actually killing stingrays to avenge his death? Yeah. I mean, like, come on.
I think that's hilarious in a real Neanderthal twisted sort of way.
I mean, how can a whole species be, you know? I mean, if we go by that pretense, then all humans should be dead.
Yeah, but, you know, it's not exactly the stingrays killing other stingrays, though. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, I do. All right, it's been great, and I'm just going to get off so I can post this podcast, and you guys have a great day, night, or whenever it is that you guys get to listen to this. All right, man.
All right.
It was fun.
Good talk to you.
Okay.
Bye. Bye.